Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Facebook. Okay. Survivor specialist Phil and Alexa are back. And despite Adam Klein winning Survivor and Alexa being good at this, I just want to take a moment to say I had Morgan in spot 18 in the power rankings. The two of you put her so high. You really talked me into it. And I ended up moving her to 16. I was mad I had her so low going into this week because you guys were so convincing. And, man, I should have kept her because Morgan is gone. And I just want to brag first, and then I'll cry later. But first, let me pretend I'm macho and I still got it going on. I just dominated you guys in that, and you guys convinced me. You guys saved yourselves 2 points.
So here's the thing. Like, I'm actually impressed that I convinced you, and I think it's kind of cool that I, in a winner of Survivor, was able to convince you of something so incredibly wrong. Mm-hmm. And also – You've also listened to me after I sold you on Gonzalez. So I really think you need to just stop listening to everything.
You know what it was when I was podcasting with Will, I never really took anything he said seriously. and you know what? Will was right a lot of times. I mean, Will was good with the challenges. Will predicted the Jeremy win, then I didn't think Jeremy had a shot. So you know what? I didn't listen to him. Alexa comes in. I'm like, you know, I'm gonna listen to Alexa. Alexa's got it going on. That's twice you burned me. Fool me twice, shame on me, but you're not getting me a third time. So pretty much everything you say on this podcast, I'm just going to put like earmuffs on and wait till your mouth stops moving and I'm just coming in.
I just got to stop taking myself seriously. I didn't think that I did take myself seriously. Maybe you take me seriously.
I didn't realize that you and Adam had like this pact to like troll me. Like, yeah, I thought that you guys were getting real advice, and in reality, you guys are just out here, you know. You guys had a plan that whole time. It didn't work. Whoever comes on next, which we do kind of have somebody lined up.
TBD.
Sunday, TBD. Whoever comes on next has their work cut out for them because, man, Adam Klein just dug you a hole. Oh, my goodness.
That was not good. Not good at all. The one thing I will give myself is I put James high up. I got a lot of flack for that. And James really came through tonight. James, I am great. Super upset that Morgan is gone. I had the quickest, I don't know how I feel about her. Oh, my God, I love her. Oh, my God, she's dead. kind of arc over the past hour, but man, she was awesome. And James had a great foreshadowing at the beginning of the episode. I think he was the first confessional, and it was like, I screwed up. I'm still hanging this over my head. I have to redeem myself. And man, he redeemed himself. All right. That was awesome.
Yeah. James was great tonight. And everybody gave James a lot of flack in the physical challenge where Donathan became the hero and he had the article written about him. And you know, he had all that stuff. Tonight, when it came to strategy, we didn't hear from Donathan at all. Donathan was silent tonight. James
had
some –
confessional.
He didn't get a confessional, which I was shocked by. But then again, we got a lot of Angela. We got a lot of Libby. I love Libby. I love
Libby's
her.
Awesome.
I love her. I'm really surprised at that. Morgan, though, I don't know if this is when they do like the queen thing over on Reddit.
She's a Rob Giotis.
A Rob Giotis. That's what it is. Whatever it is. The Rob Giotis. Definitely not marking down Morgan as one of those, because Morgan made me laugh this whole time. I really enjoyed watching Morgan. I was really excited to watch Morgan play next week. Instead, she's gone. But I was really excited when she was talking to Libby. I was like, oh, we got a cool alliance. This is a fun alliance. We have Libby, who I'm really liking this week. We have Wendell. We have Dominic, who's nuts. You know, I felt bad for Angela because I was like, man, she just aligned with the wrong person. And now she's gone based on the swap. She also has one of the most intense stares ever. I wanted to cry for Dominic when she was just staring at him as he talked.
Well, you can still feel bad for her because now she is so alone. She is completely screwed by her old tribe because they all voted for her.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, and this is, we'll talk about why this is a brilliant move. This was a brilliant move, but I just want to talk about Morgan a little bit more. Morgan's somebody who goes out super early, really positive, even when she turned around and said, don't trust the little blonde girl. Then she's smiling, saying, I'm giving this advantage to Dominic. I hope it's not cursed. She was smiles the entire time. This is the type of person where it's like, I would like to see what Morgan could actually do in the game, because I don't necessarily think she got screwed, because she didn't. This was a brilliant game move. They gave too much information, and Malolo used it to their advantage, and good on James, good on Libby. I know we didn't really hear from Laurel, but I'm sure she had a big say in it. Donathan, I'm not so sure. I think Donathan's still kind of feeling out the strategic part of this game. But for James and Libby tonight, I mean, for Libby to put aside her feelings for Morgan and for James to be ballsy enough to just bring it up, put it in there, and it is the right move 100 times out of 100. So this was a great, great move by this group. And man, I'm still disappointed that Morgan's gone, though.
Yeah, just to echo the Morgan thoughts, like, again, in the preseason, I had no perception of her. Like, I didn't know what to do with her. And she was all over this episode, understandably, but also because she just has such a fun, happy personality. Like, when she and Libby were talking, they were like two best friends. Like, they were so happy. They were so fun. Mm-hmm. And even when she got voted out, what I loved about her getting voted out is she drops, I presume, an F-bomb. Like, the first, which is what I would do. I'd be like, are you effing kidding me? Mm-hmm. And then she, like, picks up, smiles. Like, she had the emotion invested in the game, but could also turn around and just still be her like happy-go-lucky self. And she was awesome. And they didn't even get rid of her because of this legacy advantage. To our knowledge, this legacy advantage was never even remotely brought up, because I know they would have brought it up if, you know, would have come up somehow. And so her going home was just, like you said, she wasn't robbed. It was not even remotely her fault. It was just such a good play from the other tribe. I actually thought they were going to vote for Dominic. I thought it was cool. They walked into tribal council and I knew someone from Malolo was not going home, but out of the four Navitis that were left, I really didn't know which one was going to go home.
I still thought it was going to be Angela going in, but after seeing it, this is the right move. I just thought they were going to go with Angela because based on Libby's relationship, I felt like Libby would have more pull than she did. And I felt like she would have been like, you know what, let's get rid of Angela. I want to keep Morgan around. Let's do everything we can to keep Morgan around. But good on her to not do that and for them to send Morgan home here. Here's why this is great for anybody who might be like, why did Morgan go? The reason this is just a phenomenal move is because this Naviti, as opposed to the other side, and we'll talk about the other tribe, but this Naviti, they showed their clear division. It's Chris and Angela versus three. And they were vying for the Malolo votes. Well, if you get rid of Angela here, Chris is an easy boot next time. And the other members of the tribe, they're still tight. They could still work together. The three of them, if you get stuck in a swap position, you see that the other three are very, very tight. By getting rid of Morgan, now you have Dominic and Wendell, who will never work with Chris and with Angela. And you have Chris and Angela, who will never work with Dominic and Wendell. So the four of them just took themselves from being down 5-4 to putting themselves up 4-2-2, and they can take whatever pair they want and work with them. And really, this is the best move for James, especially because he gets rid of somebody who could have easily wooed Libby. It doesn't seem like any of them are really willing to go deep with Dominic. It seems like they're all fishy on him. Nobody really wants to work with Angela. This move wasn't to save Angela. This move was to get rid of Morgan. This move, nobody wants to work with Chris. They all see through Chris. The only one who seems like he has any shot here is Wendell. And at that point, you're still up 4-1, and you have the Malolo tribe there has completely shifted the game where none of those Malolos are going to go home next week. That's my top four next week. Like, the only way they go home is if an idol gets played, and there's no way Dom is playing his idol this early.
I think there are so many reasons why this worked out well, but I think in retrospect, this was the best five original Navitis that four Malolo group got because they were already so fractured. They went in with the two people who were fighting against each other, Dom and Chris, and immediately Chris was trying to grab Libby. Dom was trying to show, trying to pull them aside. So those two were already showing their cracks. Malolo didn't even have to try. They just came to them. And so they laid low. And what I loved about this was just a pure social politics move. There was no idol involved. There wasn't even that much fear of an idol floating around. And I think that's why I liked it so much. It was just a really good strategic move. It was fantastic. And I think, like you said, I think Libby deserves a lot of the credit. Obviously, this is James's move, but I was pretty low on Libby going into this episode, and she got rid of someone who she had a really strong connection to. Now that I'm thinking about it, it was more Morgan narrating their relationship. So I hope there's a secret scene coming out with like how Libby felt about it. But Morgan's sitting right next to her tribal council, and she's saying, this girl probably lied. She's probably going to lie. And Libby's sitting there laughing, and she's like, yeah, I'm about to slit your throat. You're about to get out of here. It was awesome. It was so good. She kept her cool. I didn't think she had it in her, and she crushed it. She blew it out of the water. So hats off to Libby on that one.
How fitting for Morgan to get blindsided by the little blonde girl in the episode where they're talking about James and how James always knew you're not the most dangerous when you're the strongest. You're the most dangerous when it's the Todds and the Courtneys and the Amandas. Those are the people who blindsided James. That's just who blindsided Morgan tonight. So it's kind of fitting that those two paralleled here in the same episode. We'll talk about the James thing. That's still probably like top five episodes of Survivor of all time for me. And James is still like James round one is one of my favorite characters ever. And that's still one of my favorites. So I got chills watching that again. I know I don't really like
so good.
I don't love the really long flashbacks here. It's still too much, but God, I that tribal council is just iconic. I remember where I was. I remember it was like one of the only nights my family wasn't watching with me. I remember they were in the other room, and I just remember standing there looking at the TV going, give us one more week of James. Give us one more week of James. Please give us one more week of James. And as the votes came through, I just remember being like devastated and just being like, what just happened? And my parents come in and like, was it good? And I'm like, don't talk to me. Like, just don't. Like, you can watch it. Go watch the VHS later. Okay, guys, get away from it.
Turn on your Walkman and shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think, and maybe it's because this was just such a great scene, such a great episode, the whole James vote out. But I think I am liking these kind of drawn out, you know, as soon as someone finds an idol, the whole context. I think I am liking it. And again, this could be because it came from a scene that I really liked, but it just brings me back. Like you just said, it brings you back to that era of Survivor. And it was so fun. And they kind of faded a little bit. It's just, I really, really like it. And maybe it took a confessional away from Bradley, Chelsea, Dez.
We didn't need more Bradley tonight. We got plenty of Bradley.
Yeah, we got plenty. But there were six people who didn't have a confessional. Maybe it took one away from them, but I don't know. I really liked it. Maybe that's an unpopular opinion, but I really like them.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, this is one of the best moments in Survivor history, so it also helps when that's what they're showing. Like the Andrea one last week, I didn't need to see that because it doesn't do anything for me. Yeah. I'm sure they're going to use the stick at some point, and that's going to be great. But like right now, I didn't need it. This one I like because, like I said, it's like one of my favorite moments ever.
And it's one of the older ones, too, that could come from this season, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who doesn't want to just watch James with the thing on his head just be like, oh, my God. And then
I had two idols. Yeah, like holds them both up. That's a chunky idol, though. You forget how big that is. Like, that's bigger than three of Michael's heads.
Well, and that's the thing. So now they find it. Brendan and Michael find it. Yeah, and really,
Michael finds it.
Michael finds it. But Michael and Brendan, I feel like this is going to be work together. I mean, Michael let him hold the thing. I mean, this is Michael's idol. But I could see in a situation where the two of these guys use this together, because it seems like they're tight. And on this tribe, it seems like if they go to tribal council, it's a very clear 5-4. And I honestly think Bradley is screwed. I hope I'm wrong, Brad. Like, what's going
not
on?
Not the best episode. I know.
They not the best episode
the
I've ever seen.
We're not him. Kind to him.
But I do think, like, with this idol, like, normally you can put it in your pocket. You know, you had Rupert, like, pretending to have an idol back in Heroes versus Villains, and you just had, like, a rock in his pocket. You can't fake this. This is a giant square.
Yeah, you
have
to put that in your boxers.
You can't have that. Yeah, exactly. Everybody's going to know that that's in your boxers if you have that in your boxers. I don't care if you're Troy Zan or not.
there it is.
But, you know, but, like, there's – it's to me, it's like – that's a huge idol, and that just shows how far Survivor's come. Like, look at the size of that thing.
Yeah.
And, like, they would never put an idol like that now. They want to be able to wear it. They don't want you to walk around a block. They want the tribal council moment. You put it around your neck, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but that's on that tribe where it's absolutely necessary for the Malolo people to have it. It's amazing how this swap worked out where – the five on the Naviti, the five Naviti on Naviti.
Yeah, this is getting a little sketchy.
Yeah, those five were so divided already. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other five that went over to Malolo, it seems like there's nothing between them that's like even a little sketchy or a little iffy. They seem like they're really, really tight. So
yeah, they seem to flow really well. And that could work to their disadvantage, because they walked in, they were like, this camp sucks. We're awesome. And then the original Malolos, now currently on Malolo, are like, oh, we're screwed, because everyone's telling us that we're screwed. And then they get an idol. So I don't know. That was great on Malolo. They figured it out. Like, Stephanie and Jenna just like running into the woods was awesome. Like, all of them find like looking for it. I wasn't sure if Michael and Brendan were going to show it to Stephanie and Jenna, but we see in the preview that they eventually do share it with them.
They have to. I think yeah, what's going to end up happening.
Tight group.
Yeah, I think what's going to end up happening next week is that tribe's going to lose, and when they lose, they're going to need that idol to figure out who can we save. And honestly, I fear for Jenna moving ahead, just because she seems like she's the least edited out of that bunch, and it's not her idol. And they might say, well, if they're going to get rid of Jenna, what do the three of us care? But yeah. That's getting ahead of ourselves here.
Maybe if Jenna started talking about candy, they would give her a little more content. Because Sebastian, he brought
Sebastian.
Up a banana Laffy Taffy, which I'm not going to get in a debate about candy. But if I'm eating Laffy Taffy, I'm eating strawberry. I'm not touching the banana ones. Just got to put that out there.
I just think it's funny. That's like two great moments he's had now. These these ridiculous. You know, whatever, what do you call them? What is he doing? He's making these comparisons
analogies.
That are just so absurd.
Absurd.
They are absurd.
But
like,
he said, I actually wrote it down. He's a happy, smiley, giggly piece of Laffy Taffy, comma, banana flavored. He needed to clarify the flavor.
Like, why banana flavored?
Candy that he currently is, which like, is also happy, smiley, flavored? And giggly. There's a lot. I could write an essay about this.
Yeah,
which I'm probably going to do.
You can go for it. Always go for it. But anyway, so let's start off. We had seen the sneak peek already. We see James, like, we get his night confessional of James, like, being like, I got to step this up. We get the sneak peek, which we had already seen. We get the new tribes. The tribes, the way they shook out, was it done purposely? So it'd be five Naviti and four Malolo. Was it done purposely by the producers?
How do you think that could happen?
Well, if they obviously give the right amount to girls and the same, like, right amount to guys to make sure it's even that way. But what they could have done is, what I'm thinking they might have done is, they gave a one thing of buffs to Malolo and one thing of buffs to Naviti to make sure that it was split. I mean, it just seemed like we never get a clean split unless they want a clean split.
Yeah, I was thinking that because, like I mentioned earlier, the original Navitis who stayed on Naviti, they were very fractured. And the ones who went to Malolo, they were pretty tight. But then with that, I think why this vote out was so cool and why it worked out so well is because the numbers were at that point tied. So that really helps too. The rock draw, that sent Chris over to go silent, which I guess we'll get to that in a minute. But I mean, if it was 6-3 or if it was 7-2, this never would have happened. This conversation wouldn't be happening. It would probably be a routine vote out for someone who was on the original Malolo tribe. So I don't know. But now that I'm thinking about it, we're really liking this episode. And so maybe.
I'm really thinking that this was done purposely to create it as a 5-4, because what ends up happening is they know that they're going to send somebody to Ghost Island. They know it has to be unanimous. The producers know that it's not going to be unanimous. They're looking for that rock dog tied up 4-4 every time.
I like this. Is this the first time that Jeff has ever said, like, by the way, you're going to rock draw about this? I guess, like, there haven't been many situations because for Exile Island.
Normally, they always pick somebody.
Yeah, but I liked it. I liked that a lot.
No, and I think that's the smartest thing they can do is you force their hand. You say, like, Bradley smartly brings up Donovan. He's already been, so why not? And then for Johnson to just be like, no, I dissent. Like, you have to say that. And, yeah, it was Johnson who said it. But you have to say that. And even Bradley acknowledges, like, I would have done the exact same thing. Here's Bradley, who's been shown in a negative light this entire episode as being a thorn in the side of the Malolos. Like, Brendan's complaining about him. Stephanie's complaining about him. Whatever. You know, they only have dirt here. We used to have sand. Like, but then for him to even be like, that's what I would have done, it shows that, like, even on that tribe where it's like, we're clearly 5-4. We don't really want to work with you at all. We still understand.
Yeah. And like, honestly, that was a reasonable request.
Honestly, I don't know if that 5-4 is as tight as they actually are being made to be, or if an idol is the reason one of them go home. And that's why they're trying to make that 5-4 look as tight as they are. Like that group of five on Malolo now, maybe they're not as tight as we're being told, but we're being told that because in that first vote, they do vote together. And then what ends up happening is a Malolo plays the idol and one of them goes home.
To make it more
dramatic.
Yeah, I kind of want that group got to have the drama. I kind of want them to go to tribal council just because there are so many people on this new Malolo tribe that haven't been to tribal council. So when you're kind of like what you're saying, is that group of five so tight? I have no clue. I have no idea where, who's it? Sebastian, Kellen, Bradley, Dez,
and Chelsea. We don't know anything about Dez, Bradley, or Chelsea.
Chelsea doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So I don't know how any of them feel about each other, especially when it comes to alliances. So I kind of want to see where it shakes out and see if they actually can fall through on being as tight as they say they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. Like, Kellen and Bradley did the puzzle. It actually seems like, for as much as they were like rubbing it in, like, it's a shame. Like, Kellen was saying, like, straight to their face, like, it's a shame. You guys are definitely the four and we're the five.
It's a damn shame.
Like, but this is a mistake on Kellen's part, because now they get an idol and the four of them are going to work together. And when you have to send somebody to Ghost Island, it's no longer 5-4. And if it's 5-3, all they have to do is pick the right person to give the idol to, and it's 4-4 again. Or they have to find the one person who's actually not that tight with them, and it's 4-4 again. That's all you have to do at that point. So with Ghost Island in play, you can't be as cocky as, I think, as Kellen was being tonight.
Yeah, I think the Bradley-Kellen 1-2 punch, like, it was a bit of cockiness, and also just, like, Kellen's was funny. Hers was like, I'm really sorry, you guys are cool, but it's not going to happen. And I feel like this is just an era of Survivor where that really, it just doesn't work to the advantage that it used to, because Stephanie can be like, oh, okay, and then go find one of the 7 billion advantages that are under a tree 10 feet away.
Yeah, exactly. And like,
I was really surprised that happened. I was really surprised by that.
What confused me was we had already seen Brendan talking in the preview, like saying, oh, can you reverse the curse? So when the others went out running around looking for the idol, I was like, whoa, wait a second. Like, Jenna and Stephanie are the ones that were watching sprint around. Like, what is going on here?
That was a great cut of them just like booking it in. That was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was great. So I don't know. I'm like really digging what we're seeing right now. I really like this episode. And Navidi, for as little as we saw last time, I like what we're seeing from him. I like that Bradley is the villain. Like, even though he hasn't gotten any confessionals, I like that they're showing him as like saying, like, for somebody who has no confessionals 3 episodes in, even though it's 2 weeks, but 3 episodes in, he's, you know where Bradley's at. He's the pain in the ass on that tribe. He's loyal to Navidi, and he's clearly trying to almost instigate them. And he, but he also sees it from their perspective, where it's like, you know, I would have done the exact same thing. He is playing the game for somebody who we haven't seen. Chelsea, we haven't seen anything from her, and we literally haven't seen anything from her. Like, I don't know what Chelsea's voice sounds like, and this is going to be a Lucy boot when she does go. I wouldn't be surprised. Chelsea go next week for all we know, and if she goes home, it's going to be one of those where it's like, we didn't hear from her, and now she's gone. Oh, okay, bye. Like, that just seems like what her role on the season's going to end up being.
Yeah, that's the difference between the two of them. I think they're the only two left that haven't had a confessional, but Bradley, we have a decent sense of his personality. Chelsea, I think we've had three still shots of her, and like one of them, she was chewing on something today. Like, she is just not a part of this season. And so, kind of like what you said earlier, on the flip side, they blew us up with Angela, probably bait us into thinking she was going home, and she didn't go home. And she, I mean, she certainly didn't have a great episode because the vote didn't go her way. I just thought it was funny that, you know, she and Chris, they're apparently tight, but you know, he's walking down with her and he's like speaking down to this ex-army officer of, you know, how many years, and then like speaks down to Libby, but then he goes to go silent and Angela's like, yeah, so I'm going to ditch this guy. And Wendell's like not even buying it. So I think the rest of Angela's original tribe mates just don't have a good gauge of her, because Wendell didn't even want to engage with her. He wanted no part of her.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem right now for Angela. Is I don't think Angela is really playing a bad game. I just think she sided with the wrong person. You go, you find the strong guy, you find the alpha male. If that's the type of game she wants to play, yeah, you picked the right alpha male. You just picked the guy with the wrong personality. You picked, you decided to pick Chris, who nobody on the tribe likes. And it's not even so much that nobody on the tribe likes him. It's that he came right out and was throwing Dominic under the bus, and Dominic actually was friendly with people. I mean, tonight Morgan goes home. There's a reason we see Wendell saying to Chris, like, I like Dom. I don't want him to go home. Like, we see that in the first episode. There's a reason we're seeing that. It's because I really think that Wendell and Dominic are going to stick together for a little while. And as we're seeing right now, if Chris doesn't go to Ghost Island tonight, Chris does go home if Chris doesn't go to Ghost Island. Because I think what ends up happening is they probably say, we can get rid of an alpha and it's somebody on the other tribe. And Malolo probably does end up going for Chris. Even though right now, Chris could go all the way to the merge just because he has really nobody. Chris could go deep in this game because nobody is going to feel threatened by him, because it's almost like he's just the odd man out at all times.
Yeah. And they very well could keep sending him back knowing that he's probably going to be the one to go home. That was kind of the Donathan strategy that they were going for. And Chris had a really interesting episode too. I mean, we knew eventually the other side of Chris's story was going to come out. And I really like how it came out, because it was really natural. Even just the way that they shot it, like sometimes it clearly wasn't just one confessional. This had been going on for a period of time because he was just sitting in different places. He was really, really upset. And he took Ghost Island just as a way to channel that negative energy, in his own words. And I liked that because it humanized him, and he's definitely the quote unquote villain, not because, you know, he's particularly doing anything bad. He's just kind of acting like a douche, but he does have a good story. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there, but he does have this story, and this clearly means a lot to him. And then I don't know. I thought I'm glad that they put that in. I'm glad they put that in early so that we can see Chris as a complex character, and he didn't get an advantage. Like, Ghost Island is not,
Ghost Island's not very good all the time.
Yeah, it is not. It's not a vending machine, which I'm very happy about.
Yeah, and I will say with Chris, I actually like, yeah, anytime you can get like the humanizing moment, I like that. And for somebody who's gotten a pretty bad rap on this season so far, this is somebody who, so far, we've seen him be on the wrong side. People have said they just want to vote him out. The Libby side was ready to vote him out had it come to it if he was there. His whole tribe wants him out of there. The only person he's really close with is Angela. I don't really think that him talking to Angela is meant to be seen as negative, even if he was kind of talking down to her.
I think it was meant to be. I think it's just how he talks to her.
Yeah, I think it's just how he talks to people. And honestly, I think Angela, as somebody who was in the military, probably is okay with that, because she's probably used to, like, she even said, I'm used to people talking to me like this. Like, I don't think it bothers her as much, because I think she sees where Chris is coming from. And really, Chris wasn't wrong. Chris was right. They did have to get out there. They did have to get them all right away. And then Dominic was right when he said, we have to get them all right away. But the thing is, Chris has been so negative this entire show, and then all of a sudden he gets to Ghost Island and we see him break down and we have this humanizing moment. What does that mean for Chris in this game? is Chris now going to stick around for a little bit? Can Chris make a bit of a run here? Because he didn't go here. He kind of got saved once. Is it going to be like Jacob where he got saved once and it's just buying 3 more days for him? Or is it going to be like somebody else where, yeah, those 3 days are really all he needed to gather himself, come back, realize, oh, Morgan's gone. Can I make my move and can I get in with these people now? And he still has his closest ally in the game.
Yeah, I think Angela still being there is kind of his only lifeline. Because I think even though now Dominic is going to maybe be playing on the defense, from the preview, he will be doing quite the opposite of playing on the defense because he shows Laurel, presumably his real idol. I don't know how many idols he has floating around. I've kind of lost count at this point. But yeah, I mean, at least Chris still has Angela, but Angela has nobody. So I really don't see much of a path for him going far. I do want to talk about Dominic's fake idol. This has now happened twice where he showed it to people and they're all like, this is BS. Like, I know that you have a real idol. How do you think this is going to net out for him?
I think it's going to end up resulting in him playing the real idol at some point and actually getting somebody with it. Because I think right now James called it perfectly and said, I think that he's showing us his fake idol so that because he really does have a real idol and he just doesn't want to tell us that. So he's trying to throw us off the set. And that's 100% right.
Yeah. He and Chris both pinned that immediately.
Him and Chris both pinned it. The thing is James hasn't actually seen the note. He hasn't seen the real note.
Yeah.
So what I think is going to end up happening is Dominic now has a legacy advantage. Dominic has to do is get to final 13, play the legacy advantage if that is at the merge, which I'm assuming if they're going to have it at final 13, it's probably going to be the merge. They're not going to do that before the merge, have the legacy advantage be played.
You got to have the merge be a mess,
So what ends up happening is watch Dominic play it at 13, and everybody says that was his idol. That's all he had. That was the one thing he had. And then he gets them all with the other idol that he actually has later in the game. Because I do think for as bad as things look for Dominic right now, he still has an idol. He's still, even if they find him threatening, I still think that Libby, James, Laurel, and Donathan will probably side with Dominic and probably side with Wendell before they side with Angela and Chris. I think this was the smartest move for them tonight to get rid of Morgan. But I think Angela and Chris are definitely the two where it's like, we don't want to work with them because who knows if we can even trust them? Do we even want to trust them? Like, do we want to play the game with Chris? We know Dominic might be sketchy, but Chris and Angela seem like they're just going to flop their way through this game.
And I think what's going to be Dominic's biggest asset is not even this legacy advantage and this real idol and this 7 fake idols that he has, but I think it's going to be his personality because flip these situations, put Chris in Dominic's position, he's done. Or he's got to play that idol next week. But again, even though they thought Dominic's situation was sketchy with that fake idol, it was never, he is sketchy, I don't like him. I think they all still really like him. And so I think, and Wendell too. I mean, they both just seem like very naturally likable guys. So I think that will really work to their advantage with getting in with this, Malolo majority now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do. I think you're completely right on that. I did like the scene where Chris was like, "You're from New York, you know how it is." And James was like, "Yeah, I'm from New York. Yeah, always on your toes." And like it just seemed like, "Yeah, sure, Chris, whatever you say, man." And Chris was like, "I've been on him since the beginning." And honestly, Chris is right. And that's the craziest part right now is for as negative as everything's been around Chris, he has been right pretty much in everything this season.
He's very like smart. I mean, he's very intuitive. Everything, like you said, everything that he's called has been right. He just rubs people the wrong way. And I don't think that's his fault. And I mean that in the sense of he's not trying to antagonize people. I think that's just a part of who he is. He's a beautiful male model from Florida. Like, he lives in a different world than a lot of these other people who he lives on a beach with. Like, he and Laurel, they just have like led very different lives, like he and Dominic. So I think when you're kind of like Angela, if you're just put in a position where you cannot relate to people, a lot of things will rub them the wrong way that maybe wouldn't for other people.
Yeah. And I think that's what's happening is it's just being viewed because it's coming from him. he doesn't have his Sebastian now. Sebastian's on the other side. Sebastian's, you know, the Laffy Taffy on the other side of everything. He doesn't have him anymore, which is which is really going to end up hurting him because he did not bond with anybody else. I mean, because we got that emotional moment from him, I'm still expecting big things from him. Mm-hmm. Like, I really...
If Chris's confessionals came from Laurel, I don't think people would be batting an eyelash. I really think it's the vessel from which they're coming from, because I think if you just turn off the voice and like put it in a Siri, it's really not that bad what he's saying. It's the air of what's being said. But I think you're right, because we got that moment, we might be getting more Chris than we expected, and Joe Maina lives to see another day.
He still has two people, which is hilarious, because Alexa, you're down two and I'm down one, and he's still chilling without getting anybody voted out yet.
Yeah, and he has 32 points because Chris got the LVP last week, and I have 45 points. Oh, never mind. I'm not that bad. I thought I was much closer to him.
Me and Alexa are going to work on math after this because I saw Alexa's math in here, and I am. You weren't counting the ones that the people voted out. You weren't counting any of those points.
That would have helped me, considering I have two people who are already voted out on my team.
Yeah, once I gave you those 9 points, all of a sudden you're up to 45 instead of 36.
Well, you remember how the Alan Ball tribal went. I needed you to like make an Excel document for me.
Yeah, I know. I hear you.
Trying to get it, but here I'm doing this on an Excel document. I still don't know what the hell's going on.
All right, since we talk so much about the Navidi tribe, let's actually talk about the other tribe and like the Brendan Mike Johnson. Like Johnson tonight, we didn't get a lot. We didn't get a lot from Johnson, but we did get like some. And her just like, you know, you gotta ride the waves, you gotta do what you gotta do. These are like very positive things coming from Stephanie Johnson. And like that's why, like, when I look at Brendan, Stephanie, and even Michael, not so much Jenna, but when I look at the other three and how we've seen them so far, everything's been very positive around them. And I feel like they have to find a way to get through this. Like, I just feel like it's going to happen. Like, yeah, the other five have the numbers and they have the arrogance, but that other five also we haven't seen much of, whereas these other four seem like your heroes right now. Like, these are your underdogs who have to somehow overcome this. Stephanie Johnson's got a lot of time, and to see her in the next episode, like, crying, sitting there saying, I got to do something, whatever, and then it's like, here's an idol. I like how the idols have shaped up so far, because you have one tribe that's going to need to use it, and then you have Dom on the other side who probably doesn't need to use it still. Who do you see, like, going forward? I see Malolo losing. Like, where do you land on that?
I don't know. I think I hope Malolo loses just for the sake of keeping things even. But I'm looking at that group and I'm kind of going back to our conversation with, okay, so out of those five original Davides, who sticks out to me as someone who doesn't have a lot of longevity? And I agree with you on Jenna. She from original Malolo, she's kind of the only one who doesn't have a budding storyline. She's just Stephanie's buddy. And I'm looking at the original Navidis, and I have to go with Chelsea just because I know nothing about her. With Kellen, we know she's really great at challenges. With Bradley, we know he's going to annoy people. With, Dez, we don't have much from. But, you know, she and Bradley fist pumps. They clearly have something. Sebastian is going to talk about candy. Like, they all have personalities. I think none of them maybe have a relationship with Chelsea, so that original Malolo group could maybe go to these Navidis and say, hey, we have an idol, we're going to play it, so who are we going to get rid of? Because we're going to get rid of someone. Or maybe they just deduce Chelsea because none of them are talking to her. That's where I've envisioned this going.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Malolo is going to lose the next one just because we haven't seen much from a lot of this tribe. And Navidi, like, tonight, the people that we didn't see anything from in the premiere, we saw a lot from tonight. We saw a lot from Libby. We saw a lot from Angela. Yeah, Laurel's still kind of like on the outs. We haven't seen like too much from Laurel, but Laurel was in the premiere. Like Libby and Angela were the two. We haven't seen like really much from Dez, Bradley, or Chelsea. I feel like it's coming. And from watching that preview, it just seems like there's going to be so much time spent there. Why are they worrying about if you have an idol, if you haven't even gone to the challenge yet and you haven't even lost the challenge yet? You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you sitting there, like, breaking down crying, saying, we're screwed, I can't believe I'm going to go home here, if you haven't even gone to the challenge yet? Like, why are they revealing that we have an idol? before you even go and lose. Like, you don't want people to know that if they don't have to. I mean, unless they're super confident in that alliance, but even if you're super confident, it's a need to know basis. Like what Dom did tonight, he didn't want to tell those people about the fake idol, but once it got in their head, because Chris was telling them, it was like, well, here's what he saw. Here's what I told him. And good example, this goes to show you what Jacob did wrong and what Dom did right. Jacob says, oh, I didn't have the note, whatever. What Dom's pretty much saying is, I didn't really let him read it. I just showed him. It's freaking tree mail. He didn't even notice. And this is it.
Yeah, that was,
you know, that's a great move.
Mm-hmm. I think you're really right about in that preview with them talking about, okay, we have an idol. It's all good. We're going to figure it out. I think they do lose based on that. Because again, why would you bring that up? On the flip side, Dom apparently shows Laurel his idol, but we have seen that Dom is just kind of rolling with that thing. So that could very well be a like post tribal council, like let's shake things up kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then it never comes to fruition because they don't go to tribal council. And also it looks like we get an individual Stephanie moment where, you know, she's got, I saw she like wrote hope on the beach or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get like a kind of personal Stephanie moment, which just leads further into, they're probably going to go to tribal council. At first glance, I would say Chelsea or Jenna goes home, but I'm going to lean towards Chelsea.
It just seems like we're this far in. Chelsea really hasn't been on the screen. And like, why? Like, it's kind of what happened with Lucy. It was like she didn't really have much. She got blindsided. She had one episode and then that was it. Like, I could see that happening with Chelsea here too, where just one episode, quick, over, done. But I really think like right now watching it, like the people who can win this game for the most part are on the Malolo tribe. Like on the current Malolo tribe, even though we don't know all of them, on Navidi, the only one I can see winning really is Wendell or Dominic. How is Dominic going to pull that off with how aggressive he is? And maybe he does. I mean, that was his plan all along, was to be super aggressive. But I really only see Wendell or Dominic winning from that tribe. It's the other tribe where I could see numerous winners with Kellen, with Brendan, with Michael, with Stephanie Johnson. Mm-hmm. You know, like those are the people right now who are standing out to me. I mean, look at Sebastian getting all of these like random moments, random screen time. And like, what has Sebastian had to do? Nothing. He hasn't gone to tribal yet. And we're still hearing these little funny like quips from him.
Yeah. So again, something else I could be super wrong about. He could have some longevity in the game.
And I think for sure.
And I don't think it's like game content. I think he'll get there just because he's him, but I don't know. I feel like they might just kind of take him around as like a happy-go-lucky voting number.
Yeah, and he is. And he's also somebody, I mean, if he was really tight with Chris, that means he's probably not very tight with Desiree, Bradley, Kellen, or Chelsea. You would think, right?
Yeah, because,
I mean, pretty much what we heard tonight is Chris and Angela are super tight. And last week we saw Chris and Sebastian being tight. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody else is really tight with Chris except for them. So maybe Sebastian's the one who's flopping all over, and it could happen. I mean, why not?
I would be very impressed if it did.
Yeah. Hey. yeah, but hey, look at what happened with you and Adam this week. I'm just gonna rub that in for.
No, keep rubbing it in. Rub it in that you proved Adam wrong. There's nothing impressive about proving me wrong.
Well, it's just nice right now. Adam's having a really off season. He won the boot list last year. He's won boss from us before. He has a terrible power ranking showing.
Let me see what his boot list is looking like. You keep talking. I'm going to look for his boot list.
I don't think it's looking very good right now, to be honest with you. I think he's struggling, but I don't know. I'm just like, I'm really, what I saw tonight was Donathan with the strategy we're not seeing much of. He takes a big step back, and then James ends up becoming more of like the really like dominate. Donathan gets his hero moment last week. Mm-hmm. James like got his hero moment this week, but you're not going to call it a hero moment. But really what James did tonight was a great move moving forward. This really hurts old Navidi. And right now, if Malolo goes to tribal and that Ghost Island thing comes into play and it's 4-4, they might not even need to play an idol. They might be able to use that idol to convince somebody to vote with them or say, hey, we're going to use this, and you have a 1-4 shot of getting it right. You know,
I don't think they need that idol at all. I think because I think
you're going to be okay.
The four original Navidis are going to be begging at their feet for something, because that group, again, it's not like the tightest four. Because I know Libby was probably closer to like, I think it was Brendan and Michael, But I think because they pulled this out when originally they seemingly had no chance, that's going to bring them tighter. I don't envision them breaking up unless Dom throws his idol into the mix, which seems unlikely.
Yeah, I really do hope Malolo goes to tribal this time, because with Navidi, whoever gets the numbers probably ends up getting the other tribe to get somebody voted out. If it goes, because if they lose, somebody's going to go to Ghost Island, it's going to be 4-3, no matter what. And even if Dominic's like, I can't stand Chris, he might say, we just lost one of our closest in Morgan. We need to keep Chris maybe for this vote or something. Or maybe Chris goes and it's like, is it really worth getting rid of Angela right now? You know?
Yeah.
So.
Oh God.
No,
yeah,
go
you
ahead.
Finish up. This is irrelevant.
No. Say your irrelevance.
Adam had Morgan in eighth place.
Wow. He's struggling.
That's a big woof.
He's struggling. I had her in ninth. I really liked Morgan. I still really like Morgan.
I'm not big on, you know, first or second boots coming back, but
thank God she was third.
There was there you go. I'm huge on third boots coming back.
Yeah, there you go.
Big third boot fan. I don't know. I loved her. I'm really upset she's gone. I don't know. Has a third boot ever come back?
Worst gamer girl when we need her.
Yeah, we're going to need some fun facts ASAP.
ASAP.
Yeah, do you have like the GIF? You have the GIF keyboard like on your phone. I was sending my friend a GIF and there was like a sad whale like flopping around and I wanted to tweet it out, but I don't know if she would find that funny or insulting, but I meant it in a funny way if I were to tweet it, which I did.
There you go. Just be super. I mean, hey, I was bummed about it. I don't know. I mean, it's making for a really fun season. I mean, we just lost a really likable character as the third boot in a pretty big blindside. I mean, the first one got hashtag blindside on Gonzalez. I didn't really buy it. This one was a blindside. Morgan didn't see it coming. Dominic had the what. He audibly said what. I mean, this is a really, really great blindside. I feel for Morgan, but, you know, hey, it happens. I'm a, you know, at least she went down, you know, laughing and smiling, and she didn't talk.
No, she dropped an F-bomb. She did.
Oh, did she? Oh, she dropped the F-bomb beforehand.
She dropped a something bomb. It was a big, fat blur across
the mouth. After all the votes were read, though? I think that was before the last vote.
I would have to rewatch it. I thought that was the last thing, but
I think what happened was she had the third vote, which tied it, and then she said, and then when she did that, then the fourth vote got read, and I don't think she said anything until her torch was snuffed, and she turned around and said, don't trust the blonde, which, by the way, another great moment, considering it's on the James episode, for Libby to not say shut your mouth. Like, remember that? Might not have been right up, but dang, they had these James parallels running through this episode.
We had a James in the episode.
We did, and we had all the parallels. We had the person, you know, getting voted out by the people you wouldn't expect, the people who are gonna outsmart you. So if Morgan ever plays again, she'll have a much better sense going into Micronesia, and then she'll somehow get a finger injury that takes her down. But good for Libby to not, you know, when she gets the person calling her out, to not say shut your mouth, because that is still as ridiculous and brutal as that was. That is still a hilarious, hilarious Survivor moment.
Amazing.
I don't care what anybody thinks. I think it's hilarious. But but anyways, so good on Libby. I do like, though, like Libby right now, Morgan calls her out. But is everybody going to think that this was Libby's move, or are they thinking that it's somebody else's move? I think Donathan is in the clear. They're not thinking it was him. It seems like they're probably not thinking it's Laurel if Dominic is trying to work with Laurel. Are they giving the credit to James or Libby here?
I don't think they know, because I think clearly Dominic and Wendell were blindsided by that as much as Morgan was. So all they have to work off of is that it was Libby, because Morgan thought it was Libby. And Libby was probably, you know, like obviously part of this decision, and it was more of a blindside to Morgan because they were so tight. But I don't think they would suspect James. I really don't. I think maybe if Dominic starts working with Laurel, and then Laurel will say it, but I don't know if they're going to come back and be like, this was a James branded move. Like, we're going to give this one to James. They're probably going to make it more of like, it was an us move. So they very well could be targeting Libby just because she was the quote unquote face, only because Morgan said it out loud.
Well, let's now, this is a great segue into MVP, LVP. I have James and Libby. I don't care who you guys vote for. Just make the right choice and vote for one of them. They can split every vote and I'm going to get it. One of them deserves it. I really don't care which one it is.
I'm gonna give it to James. I'm gonna have to give it to James. But Libby's also good. I want to give it to Libby because I didn't have like high hopes for her going into this episode, and I think she did a really great job. But yeah, James or Libby, and my LVP, I'm gonna have to give it to Angela. She had a couple swings and misses this.
She had a couple swings episode. And misses, but I will say that anybody can go to tribal council without their closest ally, and even if they didn't vote the right way, she was the deciding vote. She wasn't wrong about that. She said, I'm going to be the one who decides it, and she did. By her voting for Libby, it actually ensured that Morgan went home because she just was never going to vote with Naviti. So, yeah, not that she did this purposely. She still decided.
She didn't know it, and she's coming back to camp with three of her original tribe members being very against her.
But this could also work in her favor, where then she goes and there's only two of her original tribe members who are mad at her because Morgan's gone. And Chris is not going to be mad at her. Chris will come back and be on her side. What this works for Angela, she can go to those other four and say, guys, I didn't know that was coming. I will gladly work with you. They clearly want to vote me out. I'll vote out whoever you want. And then the other four can say, well, we're going to vote out Chris and you have no say anyway. But Angela is definitely somebody that now her tribe has shown it. Wendell and Dominic are actually probably in a worse spot because Angela can say, guys, I will work with your Malolo tribe as far as you want me to go, because clearly Dominic and Wendell are never going to work with me. So what's the point? I'm not a threat to win challenges. I'm not a threat to whatever. Let me take me deep.
I guess like probably Wendell's in the worst position because at least Dominic has something to back him up. I don't know like whether or not he would use an idol on Wendell, because using an idol this early is just really
it's
aggressive. Yeah. I don't know if it would happen. I'm still going to have to give it to Angela just because she went in not blind, but being lied to. And if you go into tribal council being lied to and quote unquote voting incorrectly, I have to give the LVP to that.
You know what? Because Vaughn's not here to defend himself, and because he did it as the first pick in the draft and all he did was go like this, I'll say LVP is Bradley.
Yeah, he could be an LVP.
Yeah, Bradley, if you're listening, man, I mean, it's not your fault. It's the editor's fault. But hey, if you only have dirt and no sand, Vaughn can't defend himself. Vaughn got MVP last week with Stephanie Johnson. You know what? Maybe it's time to knock the king down a peg. He had Morgan as his first eliminator pick, so he's going to beat us an eliminator again.
I'm reading spoilers.
Maybe it's – of course. That's all he does, clearly. Let's knock Vaughn down a peg here. He didn't have to wear the lace for very long or whatever it was, the mesh, because Stephanie Gonzalez is out. Mm-hmm. I think it's time to take him down, you know? So I say Bradley for LVP.
And like, it's not you, it's the editors, even though, it may have been edited a certain way, but those were words that totally came out.
Oh, absolutely. I just know Bradley's probably listening,
Hi, Bradley.
but I do like, we're also seeing poor Bradley. We're seeing Bradley be talked about negatively by people that we're getting very positive edits from. Brandon, Stephanie Johnson, like, here's your two, like, older, and I'm using that in quotes, older, like, heroes on this season, and poor Bradley's getting the negative talk from them, and he's the one who the editors were just railing on. We're like, Brandon's sitting there like saying, like, you know, all the Naviti tribe has done, especially Bradley.
Specifically Bradley.
As like, Kellen seemed like she was doing a little bit of complaining, and I'm sure Desiree had a couple moments in there, and Chelsea might have spoken, and Sebastian probably was having a great time, so who knows?
Sebastian was just chewing on some live taffy. I would love to know what Bradley did to the editors, because not only are they making him a bad guy, but they also aren't giving him a confessional. So I would love to know what's going down there.
He's getting so much at the – he got at the swap. He got at the immunity challenge. He gets like those two moments at camp. Like, he had four moments and I just didn't have a confessional. Very strange.
Yeah, they're having fun with him. They absolutely are. Kind of like – screwing him by not letting him talk. It's very interesting.
They're telling us what we're supposed to think about Bradley instead of letting Bradley tell us what we're supposed to think about Bradley.
Yeah. Even though, to be fair, I think what Bradley would want to tell us about Bradley is probably very similar to what
That's probably true. All right. So that's your MVP, LVP. Guys, vote either here on Twitter, on Facebook. We don't care. Alexa tallied it up last time. And what else was I going to say? Don't put it in the live chat, though, because it goes away and we can't keep track of that. So even though Daniel Vogel just commented it and CloudStrike just commented it and Brett Semmelsberger just commented it, I can't see it.
Come on, you guys know
that's going to disappear. So put it on this video once we're actually done, or tweet it at us right now if you want. Whatever you want to do. Joe Menace talking a little trash over there. He's what'd he say?
He's having a field day.
I guess I'm killing it with a bunch of cry faces. Love it. this was good. And right now, pretty much everything we talked about preseason, it's not that it was all completely wrong. It's just like if Angela would have went home tonight, Angela would not have gone home for the reasons I expected Angela to go home for. I thought she wouldn't fit in with her original tribe. It doesn't seem like she's not fitting in. It seems like she's just aligned with the one person who isn't fitting in.
Yeah. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that. It's not, it's like not their fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for the fantasy game right now, it's Vaughn 57, Phil 54, Alexa 45. Just, you know.
Joe Manna bringing up the rear with
36. Joe Manna bringing up the rear with 30. With 30, 32, but still.
32. Joe, because of the LVP. There. But don't listen to me because I can't do math.
That's what we're learning tonight.
Quite a few props tonight. Like Jacob, I think in his boot, he got like 4. I think Morgan got 4 tonight. She got the episode title, which was – something generic that I forgot.
Wow, I actually put that too. I'm amazed at myself.
I can't believe. Yeah, actually, no, that's a good choice. I feel like some people put it.
But she for got her the to episode- go out in the third episode and I still get it. Sorry, that's hard to interrupt. I'm just saying that's dope.
It's dope. Hashtag blindside. She had a confessional in every episode she was in, and she got less than 5 votes. So for anyone who had Morgan getting less than 5 votes, I don't know how many there were of you, but she did that. And also, Brendan got a hidden immunity idol. For boot list, Morgan got 17.
No, it's not Brendan.
Oh, excuse me, Michael.
Yeah, you got to take that off of Brent. I'll delete it right now. I'm looking at it. It's got to be Michael. You got to go Michael with that.
Michael found it. That's all his.
Yeah, Michael found it. So it's actually Michael who got it. I just updated that. Well, go ahead, continue. Yeah.
And then I'm going to rewatch the episode to see about the snuff with no words, because I thought she said whenever she dropped her F-bomb is to be determined. So we'll post that later this weekend with where people are at in the prop bet. But extremely fun fact, you are probably, whoever you are, one of our hopefully tens of thousands of listeners, you're probably beating Adam Klein, a Survivor winner, in the bootless game. So pat yourself on the back for that. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and for all of you who had very good openings here for your bootless game,
we're watching you.
We're watching you. We've deleted you.
We're banning
because,
you.
Because we might have like seen like 2 or 3 that looked kind of similar. And I might have been like, that's a little fishy. And I might have reached out to somebody. I'm not going to say I did or didn't, but I was like, hey, should these be deleted? And they were like,
it's not like we know anyone who.
Yeah, we don't know anybody who could have done this. Was going down. But trust me, if you were basing your boot list on spoilers, your boot list is gone. Just so you know. So when we do finally read out the boot list winners or leaders, yeah, I think the leader right now has like 3 points. It's probably not the people who think, if they're listening, that they got 3 points and in the lead, because we know your boot list was based on spoilers.
Yeah, if you're gonna base your boot list on spoilers, you can't just like flip the first and second boots. Like, move them a little bit. Just don't. First of all, don't base your boot list on spoilers. But what's so insulting, what I take so personally, is that they think that we are dumb enough to not think that they are basing their boot list off spoilers. So to the 2 people whose names I'm not going to put out.
There's more than 2.
They're like they are the most blatant cheating I've ever seen. So if you are not going to win.
We have 250 boot lists. If you have the same boot list as someone else, that means you cheated. Like, I'm
there's
sorry.
There's no chance you can just like pick 20 random. Like,
that's like Phil picking the exact. That's like doing an NCAA tournament bracket and filling out the exact same NCAA tournament bracket as one of the other like 100 people in your thing. Like, that's which not going to happen.
Doesn't happen ever. Yeah. Ever. So, yeah, stop doing that. We really, and also I'm mad because I looked at it because we had to get rid of it. And I really hope it's wrong, but I'm annoyed that I even looked at it.
Well, the good news is, from what I've heard, is that it's not accurate. It's just based in. It's just, hopefully it's not accurate. It's just based in spoilers. That's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. Kind of like when they make a really dramatic movie and it says this is based on actual events.
If it is like, it's like one of those, like if it is actual spoilers, we're in trouble. But I do notice that their first 3 boots were not right on this predicted thing. So they weren't correct, but we've deleted them from our thing and they're gone. And it's really annoying. So I just hope that it's not right, because if it is right, this is the worst. But I'm thinking it's not.
I'm hoping it's not. But anyways, on to more positive things.
So when Alexa tries to come back in the power rankings game, just basing it on those people's boot list, and continues to get smoked, you'll all know that those boot lists weren't correct.
Yeah, I'm just going to base it off these spoilers. I got to do a little bit of digging. No, I got to redeem myself, and I got to do it on my own, like an adult. Don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm probably just going to rewatch this episode and then rewatch whatever the preview is about 7,000 times. And probably still get it wrong and do a little incorrect math along the way.
Yeah, there you go. And also, I like how CVB just put, I have 3 points. This isn't fair. CVB, you're winning. CVB is actually winning. He's one of the people who has 3 points that isn't cheating. So CVB CVB, I'm pretty sure, is actually in the lead.
Yeah, let me look.
Maybe I lied. But either way, I think CVB... you are one of the people who wasn't cheating. But anyway, it was interesting because the two that so far I've deleted two of them, the two that I deleted were identical.
Yeah. So
when you have an identical boot list to somebody else and it has the first three people right, just in the wrong order. Come on.
Yeah. To the two people, I hope you feel very embarrassed and I hope you go to sleep with a lot of shame in your heart tonight and then stop doing this stuff.
Yes. Anyway. So go ahead, continue. What else?
Anyway, so I think that's kind of it. I'm going to wrap it up. So tonight, vote for your MVP and your LVP. It'd be easier if you commented it on this video. Do not comment in the live chat. Comment on the actual video. Tweet at us, Facebook us, DM us, Gmail us, whatever you want. Vote for MVP, LVP. And by this weekend, I'm going to write a little spotlight for who the MVP is. And then we'll be back on Sunday with our predictions podcast. Time is TBD. I think we had a ton of fun with Adam. Again, this is something we're going to try to keep doing. I think we're going to keep our guests surprised, though. I kind of like not announcing it until we're actually live with them.
We also want to confirm that they're going to be there like come Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. So
I don't want to announce them on Wednesday night and then all of a sudden it's like, ooh.
Yeah, and then if they can't come, we got to like hit up Vaughn and then, you know, can't live up to Adam and, you know, this whole thing. So anyways, at some point on Sunday, we'll be live with our predictions podcast. In the meantime, I'll post my MVP spotlight later on this weekend. Phil might
write something.
Phil's actually gonna write a five this time.
I didn't do it last week. So I started like writing for like this Miami basketball website. And because I was doing that, it's like about to be March Madness. So like I was like swamped with that last weekend. Miami had their last home game and now Miami, they got the 3 seed in the ACC tournament. So that's what I was watching. That's what I was writing about for the most part. And really we talked so much about that premiere. It was a 2-hour premiere. Now I actually know some people. I think it'd be better now. And once I do it once, I want to make sure I do it every week. So I just don't want to I want to like keep it consistent. Maybe it'll be something that happens once, I don't know. Maybe once Vaughn loses his first player.
Oh, so it might not ever happen.
No, it'll probably
until happen. Until the final six.
But if I do it, I'm not gonna post it till Saturday because this way we have content coming out varied. Because if I write it right now, it just turns out to be nonsense anyway. So maybe I'll actually try to write it well for you guys.
So with that, the five is gonna come out early this weekend. MVP Spotlight is gonna come out late this weekend, early next week. Like us on Facebook. We're nearing 200 likes on Facebook. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're almost at 1,200 Twitter followers. And most impressively, we've been blowing up on YouTube. So thank you guys for hitting subscribe. Thank you for telling other people to hit subscribe. I don't know if you're just making a bunch of email accounts, but we have been getting like 5 to 10 subscriptions a day, which doesn't sound like much, but that is a huge jump from what we're used to. Mm-hmm. So keep doing it. Keep hitting subscribe. Keep watching our videos. And we'll be back on Sunday with our predictions podcast with guest TBD.
Yes, TBD. Well, I'm sure they're so excited to be noticed.
Ooh, that. TBD. Oh, bye.
Yeah, I was going to.